All right. Life is so complex. We've been talking about that for a while. This is the third series in this. But it is so complex that chance processes, even over billions of years, cannot explain its origin. So the first thing we want to look at in this is the chemical elements of life. You know, you can break us down into the chemical elements. The chemical evolution of life is ridiculously improbable, not likely, ridiculously so. What could improve the odds? Well, one should begin with an Earth having a high concentrations of the key elements comprising life, such as carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen. Those are the main things that make up all of life, and humans and everybody. The four most abundant chemical elements by weight in the human body are oxygen at 65%, carbon 18%, hydrogen 10%, and nitrogen 3%. So much hydrogen and oxygen, I'm surprised we don't hear more about spontaneous combustion. If somebody lights a thing and poof, they'd be gone. But it's mixed in with hydrogen and oxygen mixed together in water for most part. So let's look at these and see. You have heard of the primeval soup, mixture of stuff, and then maybe lightning stroke and energy hit and boom, and there was a cell of life going on there. So you'd have to have all the stuff that makes life and be right there. So let's look at carbon. Rocks that supposedly preceded life have very little carbon. We're supposed to have lots of carbon so that the life could come from it. Carbon is only the 18th most abundant element by weight in the Earth's crust. Furthermore, almost all carbon is tied up in organic matter. It's a thing of life, not the things of pre-life, such as coal and oil or in sediments deposited after life began, such as limestone or dolomite. One must imagine a toxic, carbon-rich atmosphere. It's just floating around to supply the needed carbon if life evolved. For comparison, today's atmosphere holds only 1/80,000th of the carbon that has been on the Earth's surface since the first fossils formed. So look around at today's atmosphere. We couldn't live in a carbon-rich atmosphere. It would be toxic. So the evidence is in, and carbon wasn't there for life to begin. How about oxygen? No evolutionary theory has been able to explain why Earth's atmosphere has so much oxygen today. Too many substances should have absorbed oxygen on an evolving Earth. Leigh Van Valen, History and Stability of the Atmospheric Oxygen in the magazine Science, the cause of the initial rise in oxygen concentration presents a serious, and I emphasized unresolved, quantitative problem. Can't figure out how it got there. Besides, if the early Earth had oxygen in its atmosphere, compounds, which are called amino acids, that's the building blocks of protein itself, needed for life to evolve, would have been destroyed by oxidation. Here's the problem. If there's a lot of oxygen in the air, it will oxidize and kill the amino acids. Since 1930, knowledgeable evolutionists have realized that life could not have evolved in the presence of oxygen. And yet, life must have oxygen to begin. And if no oxygen was in the atmosphere as life evolved, how did the atmosphere get its oxygen? How do we explain this? Well, cyanobacteria, we know today, break down carbon dioxide and water and release oxygen. Water, H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. They break that apart, and you've got hydrogen and oxygen. Then, 1987, William J. Schopf. Fun just to try to say the word hop. Claimed that he and his graduate student had discovered fossils of 3.4 billion year old cyanobacteria. This, he said, is how the atmosphere gained its oxygen after these bacteria, shielded by a shallow sea from ultraviolet radiation, evolved. Evolutionists eagerly accepted this long-awaited discovery as a key part of their theory of how life evolved. However, we find Schopf's former graduate student and other experts have now charged Schopf with withholding evidence that those fossils weren't actually cyanobacteria. He knew it, but he said, this is too great. I'll just pretend like we found it. Most experts feel betrayed by Schopf, who now accepts that his specimens were not oxygen-producing cyanobacteria after all. Oops. See Rex Dalton squaring up over ancient life in the Nature magazine. A foundational building block in the evolutionary story that had become academic orthodoxy, proper doctrine, has crumbled, he says. If there was no oxygen, there would have been no ozone, a form of oxygen, in the upper atmosphere. The benefit of the ozone layer is without ozone to shield the Earth, the sun's ultraviolet radiation would quickly destroy life. You can check that out in Francis Hutcheng, The Neck of the Giraffe, Where Darwin Went Wrong. Intriguing title. The only known way for both ozone and life to be here is for both to come into existence simultaneously. Not gradually, one by one, but at the same time. In other words, by creation. Well, then that leaves us with nitrogen. Clays and various rocks absorb nitrogen. Had millions of years passed before life evolved, the sediments that preceded life should be filled with nitrogen. Nitrogen had to be right there for life to come, and that era should have been filled with nitrogen in the rocks and clay. Searches have never found such sediments. It's not there. This predicted, this necessary step in evolution is just not there. Jay Brooks and G. Shaw, Origin and Development of the Living System, said, if there ever was a primitive soup to provide the chemical compounds for evolving life, then we would expect to find at least somewhere on this planet either massive sediments containing enormous amounts of the various nitrogenous organic compounds, amino acids, purines, pyrimidines, and the like. I've heard of sardines, but I don't know. Or alternately, in much metamorphosed sediments, we should find vast amounts of nitrogenous cokes. Nitrogenous coke right here. In fact, no such materials have been found anywhere on Earth. Indeed, to the contrary, the very oldest of sediments are extremely short of nitrogen. So, a quick course on basic chemistry does not support the evolution of life. They say, well, it happened a long time ago and over billions of years, so anything can happen. Jay Brooks and Jay Shaw, Origin and Development of the Living System, page 355. We were on page 359 earlier. The acceptance of this theory, life's evolution on Earth, and its promulgation by many workers, scientists, and researchers, who have certainly not always considered all the facts in great detail, has, in our opinion, reached proportions which could be regarded as dangerous. We're in a time when so-called science is no longer depending on facts. They're just taking the absolute theories and saying we have to hold to that. Certainly, ignoring indisputable basic evidence in most scientific fields is expensive and wasteful. Failure to explain the evidence to students betrays a trust and misleads future teachers and leaders. Christians should consider why, despite the improbabilities and lack of proper chemistry, why many educators and the media have taught for a century that life evolved on Earth. Abandoning or questioning that belief leaves only one strong contender, creation. That's why. Because the only other intelligent thing, besides saying it came from outer space and visited us and gave us life, which in one sense is true, because God was outside of space. Questioning evolution in some circles invites ostracism. You know the term? Being ostracized, being set aside. He's a radical, he's a strange person. Much like stating that in the proverbial emperor has no clothes. Nobody wants to say that because the emperor is convinced he has clothes. But it's made up. It's invented. So, I know you were on the verge of believing evolution, but go back. Don't believe it.